tuning in to the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Wow, what an episode. What a great two episodes. Welcome, AfterBuzzers. We are here. My name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Shaka Strong.
Michael Klaus, you can follow me on Instagram at TheOnlyMC. On Twitter, I'm Michael Klaus TV. My Snapchat is on there. I believe that's all the social media that there is. I don't have a Google Plus.
It's probably a good thing. Hey guys, I'm Maria Cavasudo. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Maria Cavasudo and on Snapchat at MGCBSST.
And I am Kevin Ellis. You can find me on Twitter at TheKevinEllis or on Instagram at KevinEllis25.
Oh, man.
Wow. So, yeah, we had a great two episodes, and all of my predictions were absolutely wrong. So, so let me start off with that. I'm sorry, guys. All my predictions were wrong. But, what did you guys just, Frank is back. What did you guys think?
It amazes me in finishing up these two episodes to realize how quick things can change. And even looking ahead of, we have episodes 8 through 13 left.
Yeah.
And it's like what happened two episodes ago is completely changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Frank is back. You got the bond form between him and Claire. You have the new candidate. You have, Dunbar dropping out. There's so much that happened.
There's a lot going on, yeah.
A lot of information. Well, we start off at the top with, again, Doug is back to his old tricks.
Yes,
so he's going to the Secretary of Health, and he's going to make sure his boss lives. Yeah. What do you guys think about that, and do you see anything coming from that?
I don't think we see anything beyond that. It was vintage Stamper. I loved it, and yet I hated it too, because you are seeing a family kind of lost in strife, and so it is sad in the end to know that Frank Underwood, who's done these terrible things, is the beneficiary of all of this. Yeah. Despite the fact he's the president, he's just a terrible person. So the fact that he's the one to get the liver in the end. It was sad. I don't think that there's going to be any repercussions, at least in the plot line going forward.
I think there is, but only because of the reaction from the Secretary of Health later by sending him that photo. Because I think that's like a little jab at him for being such a, corrupt human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I think that might resurface.
Yeah, it truly is a house of cards. They keep laying out little things that if they were to come out would just sink Frank and,
That's what I keep thinking about is that in the list of bad things that the Underwood administration has done, that is what, maybe like 35?
Right.
But it's still bad.
It's still bad.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's still terrible,
I like that you said that about the Underwood administration because I'm kind of going to jump ahead to when Dunbar is in front of the panel to talk about her, relationship with Lucas. Something she says is the president is not just the president, it's the people that work for him.
Yeah, I loved that quote too because I was like, that is exactly what it is. And Doug Stamper is just probably 75% of that operation.
He's someone you want in your corner.
Yeah, you want him in your corner for sure.
Oh, yeah. Because on top of that, if you don't agree, it's like, I will ask you to resign. And if your subordinate doesn't, or whatever, replacement doesn't, they will resign
too.
We'll
keep going.
We'll just keep going until I find the right person, which is what he says. And I was like, wow, yeah, you do want him in your corner. You don't want to be on the end of that gun.
Or he might suffocate you and make you blink to answer his questions.
that's true.
What did you guys think about Frank's visions? Because I, for the life of me, really can't decipher them, except for the fact that Zoe really looks like Claire.
Looked like Claire in the white dress and the short hair.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I was thinking the exact same thing.
Racking my brain. What does it mean?
Well, I thought it was kind of obvious that he was experiencing purgatory, or at least the closest thing to hell that he possibly could. Yeah. And I loved it. I love the imagery that we saw, just like the train going by, and then Claire just suddenly turns into Zoe, and it just becomes this nightmare all of a sudden. And Peter Russo is just this very authoritative figure in the Oval Office where Frank is president, where he wields that power.
And he does
complete opposite.
Yeah.
And he was doing his signature move.
I think in coming out, when Frank comes out of the coma and just the situation that he's in, I think him going through all those transgressions and demons brought him out, and you can see a change in him when he comes out. You can see just his...
It's like a rebirth.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think that's kind of what all that was supposed to do, seeing the Russo, seeing the Zoe, in that it has him live through his demons and that he will come out and act differently, and he really does.
Well, in those visions, we saw a moment where Claire was on the other side of the window pane, and she was dressed in white like his savior, but she couldn't quite save him yet. And when he does get the liver, then she's face to face with him, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think he kind of came out with going, I do need this woman, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, we see it clearly when he gets out of the coma and says,
yeah,
I want you in all the right ways as VP.
But the Zoe and Claire looking together alike,
I'm sure they'll reveal it somehow later on and we'll be like, we're such idiots.
But there was so much there that I was like, this is, they go somewhere. Where are we going with this?
Where is this going, right? We have the first introduction to Leanne getting that information about Polyhop, which I guess kind of sets the stage for chapter 46. Mm-hmm. What did you guys think about that whole situation? And I guess we might as well just dive into it. Conway, Polyhop, that whole deal.
Yeah.
I love Conway. Oh. I think he's great. I think he's everything that Frank is not. He is a kind of like family man. Mm-hmm. He's modern. He is addressing his peers personally, you know, in not like in person, but personally through, you know, the webcam and whatever, and he's letting people see that he's an actual human being, which I think will be kind of his victory, because Frank doesn't have those sides. I don't think Frank has those sides, so I really enjoy him.
I think they want to make him out as a good guy.
Well, yeah, I think that's what they're trying to do. Yeah.
Especially, yeah, in episode 6 when they start out and they show him with the family, they show him with the wife, and he's such a good guy, and even all throughout that episode. But there is that point and turning point in episode 7, especially when you hear about him joining with 9/11. It just fell in my lap.
Perfect timing, yeah.
And him threatening Frank. And I think he will be doing some dirty things in the future.
I think even being associated with the whole Polyhop thing, it's like they did spin it to make it look positive. Yeah. But I mean, it's
great
a little...
Spin.
Great
spin move.
But it's still something that's not quite, you know...
And I don't know if that would actually... That spin, it worked for the episode. I don't know if it would work in real life. I think Americans would still wait a minute.
You're
calling
you.
Data from like Yahoo? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I agree with you. I was like... Okay, nice try. Thank you.
Yeah,
like,
I'd still
you know,
be a little upset.
Yeah. No, I don't buy that.
Yeah, especially with the media coming out completely supporting him. It was a little fluff
like,
on there.
We support this candidate. I was just like, you know, this is not how it's going to go down. There would be all sorts of background situations going on.
Yeah, I'm sure Rachel Maddow would be like, hey, what's going on? We had in chapter 45, I thought the whole Claire and G7 and Petrov, I love that dynamic because she had a little window where Blythe is president, so she can really kind of maneuver.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of her maneuvering and kind of really her in the foil of Kathy, Secretary of State?
Oh, that's a battle right there.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's almost a little bit embarrassing for Kathy as the Secretary of State to have to, you know, subjugate to this kind of situation. But, I mean, I think it's presenting Claire in the way that, like, Frank will not be able to just push her aside, which we know because he wants to include her, you know, now. But I like it. There's a little bit of, you know, power play here, and it's just... Claire's always going to win. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did like when Kathy said, unlike you, I was confirmed.
But it was just like, whatever.
I mean, Claire played it perfectly. She knew exactly what she was doing when she was going to the G7 summit in the first place. Mm-hmm. She knew that she had this kind of relationship with Petrov. Mm-hmm. She knows all of Petrov's characteristics and what his weaknesses are, what his strengths are, and what his simple vices are. And she is one of those vices. Mm-hmm. She is able to flaunt herself in front of him. But she does it in such a respectful way that Petrov, in turn, respects her.
Yeah.
And so it plays right into her lap. She's able to actually come through and put down some policy that makes her look relevant on the world stage.
That was my favorite scene because it was really a mental game of chess until she's like, you know what, you're a beggar. You need a bailout, get your dignity back.
She is a great blend of seductiveness and power.
Yeah.
Yes.
But she doesn't back down. And that's what, in watching that, I was wondering, and I'll ask you guys the same thing and the people on the chat, and if you're watching this later, reach out to us on Twitter. Did you think that there was going to be a sexual situation between Petrov and Claire?
So I will tell you, because when he's talking about her lips and what he wants her to say and whatnot, I thought she was going to, like, give in just to be like, oh, whatever, you know? Because what he says after is not as bad as I thought what he was going to say was. So, but I was really pleasantly surprised that she just kept it very kind of, like, shut it down and just jumped right into, you know, the agreement and whatnot, or the bailout. But yeah, I thought for a split second that there was going to be not like a sexual situation between them, but some sort of weird conversation, but, which he was like.
I think that's why the writing is so good, because they still play to the truth of the matter. She's still the first lady. He's still this, like, you know, there can't be, you know, the too salacious. It can't go too crazy, because that wouldn't happen, you know?
Yeah. No way. Plus, Petrov is strange.
Yeah. You don't find him as attractive as Conway?
No. Conway is 36. He's like cool. He's like hip. He is Joel Kinnaman. Just saying, Suicide Squad.
Oh, you got some prior.
Whatevs. When I saw him, I was like, hey. Oh, hey. Okay, cool. It's just cool. This is cool. Because this will be good lead up to Suicide Squad that he's in. Totally not the same role. Anyway, moving on.
And so Claire scores her victory. She scores a big victory, and she comes back. So is that going to really set the stage for this? We're talking about the VP run, but it looks like only two people know right now. So
I don't think it's going to be her. I mean, I do. You do?
I totally think it's going to be her.
I mean, the entire two episodes have been planning this.
Yeah, but in terms of, I really believed her when they came back and, you know, Frank wakes up and he says, you know, we need to do this. We need to work together, something like that. And she's like, we can't do that, VP. She says, we can't do.
She says no first lady.
Just her role as the first lady.
She says, okay, maybe I just misinterpreted that.
Yeah, she says it has to be different. And he's like, I know it's going to be different.
Yeah, and I think setting up.
Oh, maybe I misunderstood that.
I think he kind of like sets up Donald Blythe with kind of, because he knows that he's not going to say yes.
What a great setup. Was that? What do y'all think of that? Because I'm like, wait, why is he asking him? Because he knows.
Such a great setup. And at first I actually thought it was genuine, because I'm like, okay, he actually did do like a nice job. Obviously, Claire is behind it all, but he did do kind of a nice job. He kind of held it together. So I was like, okay, maybe it is going to work this way. But then when he's talking to, you know, his staff, I'm like, oh,
but
he wanted the no already.
Exactly.
From Donald Blythe. I offered this already.
Yes.
Claire was not my first choice.
He needed that no. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he played it perfectly.
They're going to do it where they stumble on Claire, but I don't know how they're going to quite get there. But I love Kevin Spacey so great, because the way he's asking Blythe, it's like you can see the disingenuity behind it, but he's also being genuine in terms of the way Blythe is perceiving it. So I thought it was a really great piece of acting.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And so Claire gets wind from Kathy about the whole Jackie Sharp situation.
Oh.
So
Jackie and Remy, they're like little high schoolers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so skinny dipping. Yeah. It was so playful, and I just did not know what to think of it because, you know, this is a married woman here.
Yeah.
But she just, you know, something inside of her comes out when she sees Remy.
That husband has not been present this whole time.
There's not even a single mention.
Man, that poor actor is like, hey, come on.
Where's my guest credit? Guest star.
I feel so bad for them, because Jackie and Remy really just been shit on this entire time. And you have to think, she's got to fight back somehow. Already Claire told her, I'm going to continue to use this against you. You know, you were sloppy. Yeah. Like, there will be no end as long as we're on the same side. You
know? I just don't know if there's any room for political maneuvering on her part. I think she's just like another Peter Russo, where they've got enough leverage on her to where she just has power. She's a pure pawn from now on out. You know, I just don't see it.
Yeah. And what did you guys think? And I guess in actually chapter 46, we get Claire and Frank kind of not just reconciling, but normalizing. There's an awkwardness, you know, of Claire seeing Frank weak and needing help. And what do you think of that dynamic?
I mean, just to go back to the end of the of episode 6, it was just that whole scene with Kevin Spacey and Claire for the first time. You saw his vulnerability come out. As you said earlier, Mike, there was just this change in him that was so evident, and you could tell that whatever happened in, you know, when he was unconscious, he came out feeling a need to reconcile with his wife. And I think our predictions from episode 1 kind of came to fruition in a weird way. In episode 2, it seemed like there was no way that the two of these characters would ever reconcile, and now something has happened.
Took an assassination attempt.
Took his life at risk to bring the two of them together.
You can really see their dynamic to coming together when they're talking about the NRA bill, and they're talking about who is the VP, and then the Supreme Court, and they're going over that speech, and they're challenging each other and saying, this is what you should say, and oh, what about this?
I loved
how they did that, because I think it's very playful, but it just shows how much these two people feed off each other and how much they need each other. Because Frank really pushing her, for example, to be like stronger and like, no, stronger, you know? And she's a very strong female already, but she is like, she was like 300 1,000 times more assertive, just kind of playing this with Frank. So I was like so into that.
And it was both too, in terms of when she had the meeting with the NRA person, where it seemed like Frank was a little bit more in control of what she was saying. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the reverse of when they're together, and she was the strength.
And she was also telling him, you got to be strong here. Yes. I'll be good cop here. You're bad cop.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought it was actually a continuation of that physical walk they took at the end of chapter 45. So, you know, she tells him, don't get up. He makes sure he gets up. Mm-hmm. And then he has to sit down. He goes, I want you, you know, as VP, essentially. And then she's like, let's see if we can make it to the end of the hallway.
No,
and it was good. Just like just back and forth. And I think it's...
And he accepted it. He accepted it. There was a moment of a pause where he kind of like looked down, but that meant enough to him to where he knew his wife enough to know she was okay with this.
Yeah, I think ultimately it might just be a love story, House of Cards.
Right? Yeah. Well, I mean, the character arcs of chapter 47 was fantastic because you start out with the episode, Claire is hesitant to even come into the bathroom. Yeah. Just to be with her husband. Yeah. She was hesitant to even do that. And as you guys pointed out, you know, they had connected over the course of the episode. But by the time they're brushing their teeth in the same room, everything is good. Their relationship is on a different level than it was even from the beginning of the episode.
And at the end, I was expecting a little hanky-panky. Not gonna lie.
No.
It was political hanky-panky.
It was political hanky-panky.
No, those wounds are fresh, bro.
I will trust the woman in this one.
So
I actually meant the physical ones from like his liver transplant. But
okay. Not the emotional ones.
What did you expect that from me?
So a couple other things that they talked about, obviously, big ones to that, the ICO and another thing with Lucas coming up.
Yeah, but we have Dunbar, she entered bid at the top of the episode. So what did you guys think about Dunbar finally going off into the night?
Quick.
She actually tried to gain leverage by keeping the video public and saying she wanted to state her case. And she had a moment of a crisis of conscience, which ended up dooming her, you know? So she's like, you know, I'm going to admit to this.
Yeah. It was just her absolute undoing. Just that's it. And like they said, she's over, you know?
What would you guys have done?
Well,
I would have lied.
Oh, definitely. I mean,
wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, definitely because of where she is at on her on the stage of where she's at. She's trying to become president of the United States. If she effectively wants to displace the incumbent president in order who has immense power, you have to go the extra step, just like Claire and Franco always do. You have to go that extra step.
That's terrible. You're telling politicians. That it's okay to act bad to beat.
I mean, we're talking about a television show. In real life,
would you have lied?
Commit perjury? No.
I don't know. I disagree. I think if you have it set up, like, you know, well enough, you could be like, well, yeah, he came up to me, but I mean, what?
Well,
like,
yeah, she had to tighten it. She could have gone with a lie.
I feel like she could have been more honest. Yeah.
Yeah, but even her lie. I mean, think about it. She had this conversation with him, but then I'm thinking, like, why is she getting so implicated? You know, she had a conversation. She kind of brushed him off. Like, yeah, she had a conversation, but it wasn't like.
It's when she called.
Okay, so that's the problem. Okay, so.
She dug herself in a deep hole. Yeah. It was the fact that she called the attorney. Well, it was the attorney general at the time.
Yeah.
It's just an error of ways.
So I feel like if that wasn't on the record, yes, kind of lie, cover it up, and move on, because those two other people definitely do way worse than you do. But then once that's like out in the open, I mean, no, it's not in your best interest to lie. Like,
which is just another one of the crazy things that I talked about at the beginning of how quick things can change. I mean, two episodes ago, she was in the lead. Yeah. She was there until the assassination.
Honestly,
and then it's just
boom. Her confession almost like just makes her look desperate because it's like, well, I don't, you know, now that he got shot and whatnot, he must be doing okay in the polls. Like, this is my last attempt to maybe, like, through honesty, save my campaign. And it just looked kind of desperate. And I was like, well, nice to know you.
Well, yeah, won't we see much of Dunbar? At least it doesn't look like we'll be seeing much of Dunbar.
Mm-hmm.
But we got, as you just mentioned, we got Iko. And so, of course, ISIS, you know, they're really doing some great, you know, reality meeting the fiction. So what do you guys think about Iko and the whole FISA court? I thought that was so interesting.
They've done a very interesting job at incorporating a lot of present-day politics into this season in particular. Mm-hmm. The fact that they mentioned not only NSA, but just an ISIS counterpart in essence.
It was
just
fascinating.
And an unintentional one with obviously the Supreme Court now. Oh yeah. Which is completely unintentional, obviously, because we never would have known.
Yeah, they didn't. They couldn't possibly.
No.
No.
Yeah. Completely. That was something I was going to have us talk about later, but it's true.
Very coincidental. Yeah.
It's amazing. True. But you were saying.
Yeah, I think that was where I was going with that. Honestly, I don't
forget.
So I thought the FISA issue was really interesting. So it's a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Committee, and so or court, and it's a secret, top secret court that you can go to obtain surveillance records. This was kind of the big thing with Edward Snowden that had this whole leak. And part of that leak was a subsidiary of Verizon with collecting just data and giving detailed data on these calls. And so now Frank wants to use this kind of information to... Or not Frank, really, Leanne wants to use this kind of information.
Leanne.
So what did you guys think about going down that path? Because we see he decides ultimately to go down that path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he initially is for it, then he chooses not to and going for the airstrike,
In light of Watergate, like you mentioned, you know, Watergate was just kind of, you know, bugging my own office, right?
Yeah.
So... Now he wants to all Americans? Do you think it's an advisable path? Is this going to work?
First of all, it was a great scene when he was in the hallway of the White House going back and forth between Nixon, Kennedy, and Reagan. I mean, it was just brilliantly done and a great analogy. But, he says it. It's if Conway is holding this gun that... And he's weaponless. There's no way that he's going to win a duel. So he has to do whatever he can to obtain a gun so he can at least fight Conway. And it's the only way of doing it. It's the election or it's the fate of the American people. Now, this is a terrible decision if we look at its impact on democracy.
Yeah.
But this is Frank Underwood we're talking about.
Yeah. You don't care about that.
And especially now, it's not like you can choose a candidate who's not doing their surveillance.
Yeah.
American people don't have a choice. You're choosing one candidate who does and another one who does it differently.
Yeah.
And we definitely have that whole setup with Aiko. Is that going to come back to bite us? Because we now know that the two leaders that are typically separate are now in one place. They can just knock them out right now. But now we've let them live. Do we see terrorist attacks coming from this?
I think it'll definitely be a press piece.
Yeah.
I think there's no doubt that that gets out somehow, especially with the general being very against the fact that they would even contemplate not taking advantage of this opportunity to strike down the Aiko leaders.
Yeah.
So I think definitely at some point in time it'll get out to the press, it could hurt the war effort because you've got a presidential candidate who is in essence a war hero, and he's going to use that to his advantage in every possible way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is the only bad thing I will say about House of Cards. That speech that Conway gave was so cheesy. It was just... Was it in front of a green screen? I don't know. But it looked cheesy. And you know, he had adopted some of Bill Clinton's sort of like mannerisms. And he's looking over to the family. I think he could have delivered that better where it felt more authentic.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think about Conway and this sort of image of the perfect candidate?
I love it.
Okay, she's on.
I'm on board.
It or him?
Yeah.
I love it as the image. It's Michael.
You were there.
But I like it because he's a formidable opponent.
Yeah.
Aside from everything else, but I do think
he's everything that Frank is not.
Yeah.
Is he everything?
Absolutely.
Is he becoming Frank slowly?
I think in order to play this kind of House of Cards, this card game, you kind of got to play with their tools.
Because he called him and threatened him like as if like a young Frank might do to someone who would just...
I think he wants to be Frank, but he's never going to get there, and he's going to stumble. I think there's going to be at least one moment in the next couple of episodes where he's going to find Frank and push him in a corner.
Yeah.
But I think going forward, there's no way that he can keep up with the intellect and pace that Claire and Frank deal with.
Yeah.
The other thing that he doesn't have is he doesn't have a Claire. I don't see his wife being a Claire.
Yeah.
No.
So that's a major fault.
Yeah. But I do see him tripping up at some point. Everything just seems too perfect
for
him.
And he may have already tripped up because I don't care who you are. You already have some dirty, crappy stuff on your phone. And he's released every phone record, every message, every email.
Good move or bad move?
Typically a bad move because there's no way he doesn't have something in there that's just not going to be presidential.
Everybody's going to want to look through that.
Email, text messages.
Yeah, everybody's going to want to look through that.
You would think he would have cleared it. I don't know how they were able to find it. Now it's a television show where Claire was able to find something on that phone from how many years ago?
Yeah, but it's like nobody's gonna know what that is because to them it's the memory.
Yeah.
Well, was it recording when he had that conversation with Frank?
It seemed like it wasn't. No. Like it cut to a memory.
Okay,
versus,
that's why I didn't know if he had it tucked in his hand or not.
But I'm just saying, you have that many years of stuff that you're releasing, and if you've released everything, there's no way you don't have something that doesn't look great.
Here's the other thing. Who hasn't gotten a new phone in 3 years?
Come on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's very
who
true.
Hasn't deleted a video from New Year's?
Yeah.
They didn't make that many gigabyte hard drives on 3 years ago.
Especially when you're going to be running for president.
It was a New Year's video. Maybe. I don't know. But
I think it's a good move.
It's a stretch.
Yeah.
I think it's a good strategy for him because it kind of says, like, look, I don't have anything to hide, even though he probably does.
Yeah.
But I think, like, and realistically, I feel like the public, with his gesture, they'll be like, oh my God, he's great. Like, he's great. He's putting everything out there and won't look through it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, if it's out there, why look through it? It's available.
Well, yeah, but now it's viral, so we'll see if they find any more stuff. But now we have Claire and her new issue on guns. What do you guys think?
Another very prevalent world topic.
Yes.
They throw so many topics. I mean, I guess it's real life, right? So Claire's on guns, and she has that meeting with the NRA, which I'm still not understanding how that's going to play, because it looks like they either wanted her to wholeheartedly adopt their position or storm out. They wanted her to, like, anger her.
I think Frank, I don't understand
why.
Did
I miss the strategy? Yeah.
I think Frank... They wanted her really angry, and I don't understand that side of strategy. I don't know if you guys.
Well, I think because they knew they weren't. They knew she wasn't going to join.
But why take the meeting? Like, why do them? It seems like there's a plan. I just couldn't see it.
I think it was just being dominant and not showing weakness.
I think it's possible that they feel like they have won the issue because Frank has taken a bullet quite literally, and you know, so he survived a presidential assassination attempt. Yeah. So I think that they feel they have enough leverage in that part of policy that they don't have to really deal with campaigning against it. So if they want to throw their money and time into doing so, then let them use their resources, and you know, we'll go about doing something else because we're going to win this argument.
Yeah, I'm just still trying to figure out why even have the meeting in the first place. Why have her there, and why is Frank coaching Claire to upset this woman to storm out? And that kind of goes hand in hand with this idea of having a gun lover on the or someone who is anti-gun on the Supreme Court and someone who loves guns on the ticket. And I just don't know how that all fits together.
Such a compromise of the you need an anti-gun person. They said anti-gun on the Supreme Court.
Gun lover on the ticket.
And gun lover on the ticket.
And piss off the NRA.
And approval passage of the bill.
Yeah. And
so it's kind of 2-1. You know, do you want that pro-gun person on the ticket? So, which is obviously, if that's going to be clear, that's not pro-gun.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm still trying to figure that out.
It might just be part of the writing. We just aren't supposed to think about it. We're analyzing it too hard.
I think they're going to go somewhere with it. I just can't figure it out. I'm like, oh, you guys have got me again.
Yeah. I thought they did a good job, though, of bringing up all the points of what is the current topic of NRA and pro-gun and people who are pro-gun and people who are anti-gun. Everything that they say, they laid it out perfectly.
Oh, yeah. And after, you know, you have a shooting and, of course, you have the public outcry, but it goes away and nothing actually changes.
Yeah.
So I thought it was very interesting how, you know, it mirrors a real life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, Leanne's pushing hard. Where do we see Leanne kind of falling into this thing about this whole FISA court?
You know what I really enjoyed about these two episodes? I kind of feel like Leanne and Doug butt heads, and I constantly see them trying to vie for, like, more power.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really, really cool to watch. I don't know. I kind of like having tandem. Doug feel a little, you know...
Threatened.
Threatened. Yeah. That's the word. Threatened.
Yeah.
I see him hooking up later this time. No,
oh, well, dude, maybe. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, no, he loves Frank too much. He's single-minded, you know?
Yes, yes.
And he wants someone who's weaker. I mean, obviously you saw that earlier.
Oh, that's right. With the...
Yeah, he wants someone he can control more, and he can't control her.
To kind of go along with what was mentioned in our chat room from Fantasy Stats Guru and Music Lover, thank you for joining this chat room.
Absolutely.
They want to see more sex, just in general, mostly for Frank. They want a sex interest for Frank, which is interesting.
It could be Doug.
You mean now that Meacham is gone?
It could be Doug.
Too soon?
I don't know.
They have mentioned him in every episode since that happened. Yeah. He's very important.
Yeah, they were close with me, Jim.
That's why I was hoping some Claire at the end. I was hoping that they would be a little something.
We'll see if we get a peck on the cheek.
They're not very loving.
He's still on the mend.
Those wounds are fresh.
Those wounds are fresh, guys.
He's still on the mend.
Don't want to rip any stitches out.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I just love that final scene when they're finally back on the same page and we're going to destroy them. What do you guys think about that?
I love that.
It's amazing how you go from hating them to loving them. And it's probably because he took a bullet. You know what? Yeah. Probably because he took a bullet.
Yeah.
But you go from hating them to loving them in just a matter of a few episodes.
Yeah. And I love how the enemy constantly shifts, right? First, maybe it's like they're each other's enemy. Then it's someone else. And now they unite against Conway, the new enemy, the Republican enemy. And it's just like, I love how people team up differently depending on the situation.
Yeah, and I really don't think they can be taken down except from within. And I've been noticing a couple subtleties with Claire and Doug. Doug is always by the bedside. Claire's gone to Germany. There was this moment where she walks in to see Frank for the first time and everyone walks out. And they go,
I noticed that too.
You know, yeah. Madam First Lady, and
Claire, and then nothing
whatsoever.
I know.
And I've just been seeing it kind of bubble under the surface. It doesn't look like it's going to come to a head now, but I'm wondering, are they setting up a showdown where he's the one to bring this all down?
Oh, God. That would be interesting. I just don't see it. Because
he's taking her advice over Doug's.
Yeah, I don't think Stamper will ever turn on Frank. I don't think that there's any... Oh, God, but now I'm thinking about it. It would be terrible if it did happen.
Yeah. The only way I think he actually turns on Frank is turning on Claire, which then also includes Frank. You know?
I think Stamper knows politics well enough that he knows that how the tides can change. Yeah. And so he knows that the situation has changed between Claire and Frank. Obviously, in the moment, and that's a lot of what you see throughout the show is... enemies in the moment. And who's your enemy in the moment? All right, next, you move on. And that's just what you have to do in Washington. Mm-hmm, yeah. And so I think he saw Claire as an enemy in the moment and was obviously combating her. But I think now that he knows that Frank and Claire are kind of on the same page, and he obviously knows that they're stronger together, and he knows that he's stronger with them, that he will stay with them and not do anything.
And Doug and Claire were agreeing on the whole plan A bit before they even sided with Leanne on the plan B for their whole NSA ICO debate. So you're right. There's some kind of solace between the two right now. And I think going forward, I would be so sad if Stamper even turned on him.
Yeah,
that would
be horrible. No.
Yeah. And we have to believe that the only thing that's going to potentially bring down Frank is the press and its Hammerschmidt.
Well, speaking of things that can bring down Frank, Lucas is gone but not forgotten.
They're not letting the Lucas
Hammerschmidt
thing down.
Digging.
And he keeps digging and finding absolutely nothing. But he keeps coming up to like... talking about this Lucas thing, you know?
You see another flashback where he's with Janine Skorsky, who is someone that worked under him at the Washington Herald, was good friends with Lucas.
So she goes to see her. I guess she... Where is she? Is she at an institution?
I think she's at a university or something. Yeah. She must be a professor or something.
Oh, no, she said her college student stick isn't working because she looks too old.
I thought she said she gets paranoid because sometimes if one of her students looks too old to be for college, she feels like she's being watched.
I don't know. Okay. I didn't know if it was her that
but
she was pretending to be a college student.
I feel like either one is fine.
But either way, what she's on Prozac, she's not together.
Xanax. Totally a different thing.
And so he says, no more pills, just kind of chill out. But he's still kind of like slowly digging.
I think that's what this was supposed to show. It's just another thing of like, it's not over.
Yeah.
Don't forget about
even
this.
When
yeah.
things look like they're going great, which they do, you know, you have Claire and Frank on the same page. Frank is good to go. He's won the Democratic nomination, and you're like, things are going well.
I feel like this is a big, like, Frank Underwood, a big F you to the viewers. I think they keep throwing up these little things so you'll never know what's going to land. Mm-hmm. So that way you're just like, is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? Is it going to be this? Because there's so many things that could just fall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, do you guys, let's go into our predictions.
Let's do it.
Ooh, okay.
And now, you're After Buzz.
What card in the House of Cards will fall?
What do you got?
Nice.
For me, I'm already looking at impeachment. I think they're going to go for this FISA court deal, and that surveillance is going to come out. But my prediction might not be valid till next season. But I feel like there's going to be an impeachment road.
I see a big change in Conway in that he does something Frank-esque in terms of like something dirty to try to win because he really wants it. And you can just tell that he wants it even when you have that conversation between him and Frank in 2012. And he kind of plays it off like, oh, not, you know, do I want it, blah, blah, blah. And I see Frank has kind of, you know, did that to other politicians in the past. And I see him doing something Frank-esque and dirty and it changing him and kind of destroying his family a little bit. Because mm-hmm. I don't see his wife on the same level as Claire as okay with doing some of these dirty things. And so I think it will mess with his family a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that one. I had a prediction, cannot remember it, so I'm just going to jump off of whatever Michael said. I don't know where it went. I don't know. Seriously, I was like thinking about it. So you guys were talking, I'm like running through all the characters. Don't know what I was thinking. Yeah. Anyway, but I do think that Conway is going to trip up a little bit more. I think there's going to be something that really gets to him and possibly threatens his family. It's like they're setting it up that it's like too perfect and it's like we all love each other and there's photos and all this stuff. So it's like something.
I thought
something.
It interesting that he cursed in front of his kid that one time.
Me too. Yes. I was like, whoa,
straight out there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like just that little glimpse. I'm like, okay, there's more to this character that we yet, you know, that we haven't seen. And I think there's probably some sort of bad side to him, whether it's violent or whether it's, you know, like the cusser, who knows? So yeah, that's all I have because I can't remember my other one.
No, I'm with you. I think that there's going to be some means where we are really going to dislike Conway at some point. And to literally go along, my prediction written down here, it's just I think that he's going to put Frank in a corner at some point, but Frank is going to claw his way out. I mean, that's my biggest thought. And I think I don't know about the impeachment bit. I think that by the end of the season, I think that Frank will win the election. Yeah. Maybe season five.
That's what I'm saying.
Season five, but I think it's going to be more like the Fourth Estate is going to come through. I think Hammerschmidt will come through with some kind of peace.
Yeah, there's going to be something coming up.
You know, I just got, as we're talking, I got another prediction now for this season.
Round two.
I think they're going to offer Conway that Supreme Court position. Yeah.
Okay.
Gun lover, Supreme Court position. It takes him out of the game.
And it does take him out of the game.
I think they said they wanted someone anti-gun on the Supreme Court.
But you have to put a pro-gun person on the ticket, and that's going to end up being Claire.
So, yeah, Claire is...
So they have to reverse roles.
Claire's anti-gun.
She's for stricter background checks.
I just totally flipped off
myself.
But
they would have to do that in order for her to be VP.
Exactly.
I think the Supreme Court is more important.
So what...
It's life. I mean, that's huge. That's far more important than a VP spot.
Yeah, but they have to do it during... I mean, they're not going to do it during the election. They can do it after the fact.
No, they're pushing for it right now. Yeah,
yeah, I just don't see them going against...
In an election year?
Yeah, but you're not going to offer it to the guy who's already locked up the Republican nomination.
Yeah, no, that would be too weird.
But he technically locked it up, right? So
he has locked it up.
Yeah, he's the Republican.
At this point,
he's a presumptive nominee, but I don't think he's technically locked it up, correct? Or not?
I think it's just them.
Frank is also presumptive.
Presumptive, yeah.
So, but only because there's nobody else running right now, and Dunbar's
Jackie Sharp.
But I'm wondering who they're going to offer that Supreme Court spot to, because I think that's going to come into play.
I had thought about Jackie Sharp as a VP spot, but I didn't think she's not.
And she doesn't have an attorney background.
And Conway mentioned he'd gone to law school, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, that is our show, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We'll be back here next Wednesday at 8 o'clock. I am Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Shaka Strong.
Michael Klaus, you can find me on Instagram at TheOnlyMC, on Twitter at Michael Klaus TV. Reach out. Ask me any type of question, the randomest question. What type of dogs I like? What type of cats I like? I don't like cats. I like dogs, so that's a trick question.
And I'm Maria Cavasudo. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Maria Cavasudo and at Snapchat at MGCVSST. And I actually love cats. Half of my Instagram is my little kitty.
What was that, Snapchat?
Snapchat?
Yeah.
Snapchat is MGCVSST. They won't let me change it. It sucks. But yes, I love cats, so... But I also like dogs. So.
I am allergic to cats. It's terrible. No. So I can do a shout out quickly to Fantasy Stats Guru and Music Lover 8889. Thank you for joining us in the chat room.
Yeah.
Gracias.
And my name is Kevin Ellis. You can find me at the Kevin Ellis on Twitter or on Kevin Ellis 25 on Instagram.
Cool. Have a good night, yo.
Catch you later.
See you guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.